people says, amen. Amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, fam, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. And this afternoon, we're just going to continue our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 12. And this afternoon, we're going to be considering verses 28 through 34. Mark chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 28, and we'll read to begin all the way down to verse 34. And when you have it, fam, you can let me know by saying amen, and we'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. Mark chapter 12, let's begin in verse 28, and we'll read all the way down to verse 34. And this is what the Word of God tells us. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares, amen, amen. And by saying amen, you agree with me that what we just read indeed is the word of God. This afternoon, fam, I have titled my message, our study, simply, the most important commandment, the most important commandment. If you recall, we find ourselves in the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. We find ourselves on Tuesday. And the religious leaders, they're tired of Jesus, and they're ready to destroy him. Jesus is a threat to their religious system. Jesus is a threat to their man-made traditions, to their power, to their prestige, to their temple business. And in their eyes, he needs to be dealt with. He needs to be discredited in the sight of the people, and he needs to be removed from the land. And so what we have been seeing on this Tuesday is group by group, the religious leaders have tried to attack Jesus and ambush him in the form of questions. They have approached him in front of the people there in the temple, and they have asked him a series of questions, not to learn from him, but to really to trap him and to put an end to his life and his ministry. However, as we've been seeing these past few weeks, is that trying to trap Jesus is not an easy thing to do. A preacher once said it's like trying to conquer the United States with a BB gun. It's not going to happen. It's impossible to trap Jesus. But for every question thrown at him, we have seen Jesus answers with perfect knowledge and infinite wisdom and absolute authority. Jesus is in control of the situation. And that really is something Mark emphasizes, especially during Jesus' final week, that Jesus is in control. He's in control of everything, especially his final week of his earthly ministry. But even though Jesus' wisdom and knowledge is too much for these religious leaders, their hatred for him does not allow them to surrender. They haven't learned their lesson, you might say. And so what we see here is that they continue with their attacks, and they have another question for Jesus to test him and to trap him. And so this afternoon, once again, we're going to look at one of these questions that the religious leaders bring to Jesus. And more than that, we're going to focus on Jesus's answer. And what I want to do this afternoon, I want to be a little more basic than normally. And instead of sharing with you three or four things, I just want to share with you two things that we see and learn from our text. This text actually breaks up in a very simple way. First, we see the question by the scribe in verse 28. And then we see, second, the answer by the Lord, beginning in verse 29. And so let's begin, fam, and let's look at the first heading that we find in our text. Notice the question by the scribe. And let's read verse 28 again. There we read, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?'" And let's pause right there. And so the first thing we see and learn, fam, in our text is the question by the scribe. And I would even say the excellent question by the scribe. Here in verse 28, our text begins with Mark telling us that a scribe approached Jesus and asked him a question. Now, Mark doesn't tell us, but Matthew in his gospel, he actually adds here that this scribe asked Jesus this question to test him. Not to learn from him, but to test him. And this was the question: "Which commandment is the most important of all?" In other words, what is the greatest commandment of Moses in the law? Now, over the years, the scribes, who were the experts and the teachers of the law, they had determined that there was 613 laws or commandments found in the law of God, found in the first five books of the Bible, 613 commandments. And of the 613, that the scribes said that 248 were what we would call positive laws, things you had to do, and 365 were what we would call negative laws, things that you must not do. Now, obviously, it was impossible for your average Jew to memorize and to keep track of all these commandments. 613 commandments, that's just not going to happen. And so what the scribes did to make things easier for the people is they divided the commandments into two categories. You first had what they called the heavy commandments, and then you had what they called the light commandments. The heavy commandments were what we would call the most important ones. And the light ones were what we would call the not so important ones. Now, at first, that sounds like a pretty good system. But there was another problem. There's always problems with religion. And the other problem was a big problem. Amongst the scribes and amongst the rabbis, there was a disagreement on which commandments belonged where. So within the nation, within Judaism, they were always arguing which ones are the heavy commandments And which ones are the light commandments? Which commandments are the important commandments? And which commandments are the not so important commandments? And so in the days of Jesus, and this is how this fits in our text, that was one of the main discussions. Which commandments are the heavy, important commandments? And which commandments are the light, not so important commandments? And so with that background, a scribe comes up to Jesus and he asks Jesus his opinion on the matter. He goes to Jesus and literally he says, "Rabbi, teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" And literally the way Matthew presents it is him saying, what's the heaviest commandment? What's the most important commandment? This is the argument. This is the conversation. This is the discussion going on. What do you say, Jesus? What do you say? What is the most important commandment of God's law? And so the first thing we see is the question by the scribe. Now, before we move on, let me just say this. This is what we would call an excellent question. A brilliant question. Because really what we see here is that this scribe, he doesn't waste his opportunity. But literally, he seizes the moment and he approaches Jesus and he asks him an excellent question. Now, it is true that he wants to test Jesus with this question, but regardless, it's still an excellent question. Jesus, what's the most important thing for us to know? That's literally what he's telling Jesus. Jesus, if you can tell us one thing, what would it be? Jesus, tell me what's the most important commandment of God? Jesus, tell me, what does God desire and ask from me above and beyond everything else? Oh, if we were with Jesus, that's the question we would have wanted to ask him. This is the excellent question. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus, what does God desire of my life? Jesus, what is God asking from my life? Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Listen, there's nothing more important than this question. Everything else is secondary to the answer to this question. This is the greatest commandment. An excellent question. And so the scribe approaches Jesus and asks him, what is the most important commandment? Now, the second thing we see, and this is what we want to focus on, is the answer by Jesus. The answer by Jesus in verses 29 through 31. Can we read that again there in Mark 12, verses 29 through 31, Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And so, after the question by the scribe, the second thing now that we see, fam, is the answer by Jesus. The scribe asks an excellent question, and now we see an excellent answer by the Lord. It's one thing to ask a question, but it's another thing to give an answer. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He gives an excellent answer. And we would even say he gives the correct answer. The scribe asks, "Lord, what's the most important commandment of all?" And without thinking twice, the Lord takes the scribe to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. We know that portion of scripture as the Shema. And the Lord tells them, the most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. According to Jesus, that is the most important commandment of God. Doesn't get any greater than that. It doesn't get any heavier than that. It doesn't get any more important than that. That is the greatest. To love the Lord, to love God with everything, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. According to Jesus, that is the first and greatest commandment. Now, because of the importance of this commandment and of this text, because this is what God desires from our lives. This is God's will for each of our lives. What I want us to do is I want us to look at this commandment in a little more detailed way. And I want to share with you a few things that we see and learn about this great commandment. And this is what we're going to focus the rest of our time this afternoon on. I kind of lied. I had more than 2 points for you. Now I got some sub-points. let's dissect this text. This is actually one of my greatest joys in doing as I teach the word. I like to dissect verses. That's just how my mind works. And I want to share with you a few things that we learn about this great commandment. This is important stuff. According to Jesus, this is the greatest commandment. This is the most important commandment. This is God's will for our life. This is what God asks. This is what God desires from his people. And I want to take some time to talk about it. A few things. First, notice first the priority of the command. The priority. And look with me again there in verse 29. Jesus answered, and look at the next words. The most important is this. According to Jesus, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, that's the most important commandment. In other words, this is what is most important in life. This must be, according to Jesus, the priority. If you do anything else, it must be this. To fail at this, to fail in keeping this commandment, is to fail at the very purpose of why you were created. Listen, to pursue this command, to obey this command, to fulfill this command, must be priority number one. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is subordinate. Everything else must take a back seat to this great command. It's first. It's priority. In the words of Jesus, it's the most important thing in life. And that's the first thing I want you to understand and see. The priority, the supremacy of the command. Jesus tells us this is the most important thing. If you're going to do something in life, if you're going to pursue something in life, do this. Pursue this. Obey this. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, because it doesn't get any greater than this. Oh, this is what life is all about. This is why We were created, in the words of a very, very famous preacher, this is why we're here on earth. This is why we're here on earth, to love God. It's the only thing that will bring purpose, value, and meaning to our life. To love God with everything we are, everything we have, with everything we're able to do. The priority. It's a priority. That's what I want you to see for this first point. Second, notice now the object of the command. The object of the command. Notice in verse 30, Jesus says this, and you shall love, and then what's the next words? The Lord your God. The object of the command. Notice that this commandment, this great, this most important commandment, notice it's all about God. It's God who we are commanded to love. Notice Jesus doesn't say sports. Jesus doesn't say entertainment. Jesus doesn't say money. Jesus doesn't say work. Jesus doesn't say ministry. Jesus doesn't even say family. But he says God. That we must love the Lord our God. That God and God alone must be priority, must be the object, must be the focus of our love. The true and living God, the God of the Bible, the Creator God, he alone must be the object of our love, of our worship, of our devotion, of our praise. In other words, God must be supreme in our lives. That's one of the main ideas behind this commandment, that God must be supreme in our lives. He must be the passion. He must be the desire. He must be the sole object of our worship. He must be our greatest desire, our greatest treasure. He must be our greatest pleasure, our greatest pursuit, our greatest affection, our greatest joy. He must be our greatest prize. It's all about God. Jesus wants us to be all about God, to be all about him. There must be a radical obsession with God. We literally need to be obsessed with God. There has to be an obsession with God. That he would be supreme. That's the idea behind the commandment. That we must love the Lord our God. That God would be supreme. That's what God asks of us. That's God's will for our life. That's what God desires. That he would be supreme. Supreme in how? Well, supreme in the way we use our time. Supreme in the way we exercise our talents. Supreme in the way we spend our treasure. That he would be supreme in every detail, in every relationship, in every decision in our lives. That we would be submitted and surrendered to this awesome God. In other words, there's no room. There's no room for idols. There's no room for competing voices. There's no room for distractions. But God must be all in our lives. And Jesus tells us, the most important thing I can tell you is this, that you would love the Lord your God with everything. That you would be all about God. That it wouldn't simply be an afterthought, that it wouldn't be simply something we do on Sundays, but that your life would be obsessed with God. That God would be God in your life. Is God God in your life? See, God in your life. Or do you just pretend like he's God, and you're really God? Jesus says, that's the most important thing I can tell you, that you would love the Lord your God. Notice third, the depth of the command. Notice the depth. Let's now read verse 30 again. I'm going to stay in verse 30 for a while. The Lord says, you shall love the Lord your God. And what's the next two words? Read them with me. With all. You will love the Lord your God with all. Jesus tells us that the greatest command, the most important commandment, is to love the Lord God. Not simply to acknowledge him, not simply to believe in his existence, not simply to talk about him, not simply to pray to him or to read about him, not simply to be religious or to go through the emotions, but the greatest commandment is to love God. To love God. Is there love for God? Or is there simply just love for religion or traditions? Is there just simply love for how God makes you feel? Or is there genuine love for God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Are you passionate for God? That's the greatest commandment. But notice this though, that Jesus not only tells us that we're commanded to love God, but we're commanded to love him with all. With all. The idea there is, have love for God, but it's not just any love. It's not a love that you might have for a family member or a friend or a brother or sister. It's not that type of love, but it's a deep love, a profound love, a strong, consuming, great love. It's a love that controls you, that compels you, that takes over. Literally, and please don't misunderstand me when I say this, but you'll get the idea. Literally, it's a drunken love. You're drunk in love for God. It controls you. It consumes you. You love God with everything. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you're able to do. It's not a superficial love. It's definitely not a shallow love. It's not a half-hearted love. It's not a once-a-week type of love. It's not a, on Sunday I love God, but every other day I love myself and I love the world type of love. It's a love that consumes you. It's a love that controls you. It's a love that affects everything about you, everything you say, everything you do, everywhere you go. This love controls you. This love takes over you. This love is guiding you. This love is directing you. This love is a submissive love. You are submissive to God, to his word. This type of love is love that says, God, take all of me. Lord, I give you everything. Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. Lord, I will say what you tell me to say. Lord, I will go will you tell me to go. Lord, you are everything. I love you. I love you, God. Even when I don't feel it, Lord, even when I just am a little confused, Lord, I love you, God. And I will follow you and I will do what you tell me to do. And I will say no to sin and no to the things of this world because I love you, God. Even if it doesn't end up good for me, even though there might be some pain and some sorrow, even though people might laugh at me, I love you, God. And it's all about my love for you, God. That's the kind of love it is. That's how we're supposed to love God. It's a consuming love. It's a love that controls you. You do everything out of love for God. You don't even care about yourself. You lose love for self because you're so consumed for love. for God. Fourth, notice the specifics of the command. Let's read verse 30 again. The Lord says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So the Lord tells us we're supposed to love God with everything. That's the most important command. That's what God desires. That's what God calls us. With all that we are called to love God. But what Jesus does next is Jesus, to give us an idea what that looks like, he mentions four things. He wants to help us understand what does it mean to love God with everything. Well, the Lord mentions four things to help us. First, he tells us that we are to love God with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Now, the idea there is our entire being, our innermost being, with the very depth and core of our being, we must love God. Our hearts, our being, our very person must be completely given over to God. And then the second thing the Lord tells us is that we must love the Lord our God with our soul. With our soul. Now, in the Hebrew mind, the soul would speak of your affections, your passions, your desires, your emotions. We must love the Lord with all of that. In other words, God must be the passion of your soul. God must be the object of your affections. Day and night, there must be an obsession with God. Obsession with God. That when you wake up, it's all about God. Throughout the day, it's all about God. And in the evening, when it's time to go to sleep, it's all about God. That God would be first. That our affections, our emotions would be obsessed with God. There would be a love for God in our souls. And then third, the Lord tells us that we are to love God with our minds. With our minds. The idea there is with our intellect. With our thoughts. We must love God. In other words, God must consume our thoughts, our minds. God must consume our dreams, our goals, our imagination. God wants to always be on our mind. It's as if Jesus is telling us, hey, don't give your minds over to garbage, but give them over to God. Surrender your mind to God. Not to drugs, we would say, or not even to the television or the things of this world. Give God your mind. Give God your thoughts. Think about God. Meditate on the Word of God. Love God with our minds. I think at times it's easy for us to love God with our soul, with our emotions, because we're emotional people. But God wants more than your emotions. God also wants your mind. He wants your thoughts. He wants to use your mind. God has blessed you with an amazing mind. You're smart. You're intelligent. You're bright. Why not give it to God? Why not surrender it to God? And then notice fourth, we are to love the Lord our God with our strength. I like this one, because the idea here is with your energy, with your talents, with your resources, with your gifts, you are to love God. If I were to ask you, what are your strengths? What are your strengths? What are you good at? What are you good at? Now, whether you know it or not, you're good at something, okay? Because some of you are like, I don't know. Well, you're good at asking questions then. You're good at something. Everybody is good at something. Some of you are young. You have strength. You have talents. You have resources. You're bright. You're brilliant. You have many strengths. Jesus says, take all of that and love God with it. Use it for the glory of God. Don't use it for yourself. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your strengths. Don't waste your talents, your energy, your resources living for yourself or the things of this world. But Jesus says, take all of it and love God with it. Love God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your strength. The idea is love God with everything. With everything. Everything you have, everything you are, everything you're able to do. God, Jesus says, love God with it. Love God. That's what God asks us from all of us. Notice fifth now, the evidence of the command. Now look at verse 31. Jesus says, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is what Jesus does. After sharing the greatest commandment, the first commandment, to love God with everything, Jesus now, in verse 31, he shares the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so listen to this. This is very, very important. According to Jesus, love God and love your neighbor. Those are the first and second greatest commandments. First, love God with everything. And then second, love your neighbor as yourself. And they're always in that order. They're connected, they're inseparable, and they're always in that order. And let me explain. First, if you're loving God with everything, the evidence of that is you are going to love your neighbor. They're connected. You see how they're connected? You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that's going to be seen in your love for others. Your love for your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, your co-workers, the brethren, strangers. They're connected. That's the evidence. Verse 31 is evidence of verse 30. In other words, impossible for you to say that you love God and be a jerk to your wife. Impossible for you to say you love God and fight with a brother from church. Impossible to say that you love God and rob people at your work. You know what they call that? Hypocrisy. Your love for God will be demonstrated, will be proven by your love for your neighbor. You want to know whether or not you love God? Ask yourself the question, how do I treat my neighbor? How do I treat my wife? How do I treat this brother sitting next to me or this sister sitting in front of me? How do I treat my children? That will tell us everything we need to know according to Jesus. Because it's impossible to say that you love God with everything and you hate your neighbor. Impossible. There's many people that have that attitude, but they're deceived. A lot of people would say, well, I love God. But notice, it's just all talk. Because when you examine their life, when you examine their family, they hate their wives. They're cruel to their wives. They're abusive to their children. They're mean-spirited to their coworkers. I wanted to use the word punks. They're punks to their coworkers. Yet they say they love God. And Jesus would say, what? Impossible. Because your love for God will be proven through your love for your neighbor. That's will demonstrate your love. You, if you love God, that will be seen for your love for others. The evidence. Notice six, the joy. The joy of the command. Let's read verse 30 again. We're almost finished, I promise. The Lord says, you shall love the Lord your God. I wanted to throw this in there because I want you to notice that we're not commanded to love something unlovely or something boring. We're not commanded to love something ugly or nasty or scary. But notice we're commanded to love God. Notice that's the command, that we're commanded to love God. Now, I don't want you to miss that. So let me help you understand exactly what that means, all right? We are commanded to love an all-loving, all-merciful, all-gracious, all-compassionate, all-good, all-perfect, all-wise, all-powerful God. We are commanded to love the very one who is incapable of being boring, incapable of being unlovely, incapable of being unattractive, incapable of being unexciting, incapable of being uninteresting. We are commanded to love God. It is impossible, as the great John Piper always says, it's impossible for God to be boring. Impossible. Impossible. God is the very one who created happiness. God created joy. God created excitement. God created the arts. God even created culture and everything we love in culture, everything that's good in culture. Impossible for God to be boring. God's the author of life. God's the standard of goodness. God is the source of joy. God is the fountain of existence. And it's impossible for him to be boring. He's a glorious God. Glorious God. And to love him brings unspeakable joy to our lives, to our hearts. What can compare to loving this God? What can compare to know him and to serve him and to love him and to worship him? What can compare to that? I really want to emphasize this because at times there's this misconception that it's boring to serve God, that it's boring to surrender your life. At times, we're deceived, and I'm deceived at times, and I'm thinking that I need to go here, I need to do this to find the excitement or to find fulfillment. I need to go watch this game, or I need to go buy this gadget in order for I can experience joy. A lot of times we wrestle with that deception. Listen, God is the author of joy. He's the source. He's the source of happiness. And to love him, that's the only thing that can bring true joy to our lives. Yes. To serve him, to know him. And so what I'm trying to say here, fam, is that there should be some excitement behind our relationship with God. In other words, you love God, you're commanded to love God, but it's not a boring love. It's an exciting love. It's a dynamic love. In other words, you're literally whistling while you work because you love God. You're singing in the shower. You're thinking about God. You're literally just thinking about him, and you just all of a sudden begin to laugh because God is so good and God is so amazing. And God has been so good to us that literally you're driving and you have to pull over because God is just so amazing. You're literally just watching your kids in the backyard playing and you got to pause. You got to say, wow, God, you're amazing, God. You're so good, God. You're so exciting, God. It's literally the idea there. You're not loving a robot. You're not even loving an equal, another person. You're loving God. The command is to love God, and it's a joyful love. And so many Christians have no joy. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that there's no excitement for God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be like me. Just kind of over the top sometimes, especially as I minister the word. But that does mean that deepens down inside there should be joy. There has to be joy. If there's no joy, something's wrong. You don't know God. You don't know God. You don't know Christ. There's things in your life robbing you from joy. There's things in your life literally drowning out the joy because there has to be joy. There has to be life. If you're alive in Christ, there has to be life. Doesn't mean you're going to be always smiling and laughing, but there has to be something different that distinguishes you from everyone else. There's joy in loving God. And I just want to emphasize that is the most important thing I will say this afternoon. There is joy, unspeakable joy, in loving God. God is glorious, and I am most satisfied when he is most glorified in my life. In other words, like I just revel in God, just knowing God, knowing, serving this God. That's pleasure. That's excitement. That's what life is all about. That's what life is all about, just knowing God. Enjoying God, loving God, just every day, just getting to know him, every day, trusting in him, depending on him, applying the finished work of his son, asking him for grace, asking him for mercy, asking him to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me. It's all about God. It's all about God. And Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is to love God. And I would just encourage every single one of you today, love God. Love God. Don't ever forget what it's all about. Don't ever forget what it's all about. Because this is the danger, okay? You give your life to Christ. You begin to come to church. And the danger is you begin to lose focus on what it's all about. And so the danger is, okay, everything's just about church attendance, or everything's about singing songs or reading this or repeating this or saying amen or serving here or there or giving this. And we begin to get confused sometimes. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's a part of it. First and foremost, it's about God. Just love God. Keep it simple. My mom used to always tell me, keep it simple, stupid, because I tend to overcomplicate things. I'm a thinker. You know, I'm the type that will say, okay, we're going to look at 15 things from this one verse. And my mom at times would say, hey, keep it simple, stupid. Just love God. Enjoy Jesus. Don't allow the enemy to rob you. So worried about this and that. And you're thinking about this and that, and you come to church, and there's no joy. Keep it simple. I'm not going to call you stupid, all right? Keep it simple, brother or sister. It's all about loving God. Love God by the grace of God. Serve God. Give him everything. And then let's love one another. I love you, man, because first I love God. I'm going to respect you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to not be quick to judge you, but quick to serve and help you because I love God. I just love God. God saved me. God redeemed me. God has forgiven me. God has given me a new life in Christ. And because of that, out of thanksgiving to that, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to serve you. But it's all about loving God. And so the exhortation is, love God. Love God. Be obsessed with God. Be obsessed with the Lord. Just be all out for Jesus. That is the greatest commandment. Be like Paul, who would say, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. God bless you, fam. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to invite my brother to come up and let us pray, and then we're going to partake of communion this afternoon. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word, and Lord, that is just such an amazing text of scripture. I'm sure I missed a few things, and I'm sure maybe I should have emphasized this more than that, but at the end of the day, Lord, it's all about loving you, Lord, and it's all about loving one another, and that's just something, Lord, you have placed in my heart all week, just to really bring that message that we got to keep it simple, Lord. We're so good, Lord, of getting caught up at times with ministry and with responsibility and with I got to do this and I got to do that, and Lord, I know there's a time and place for everything. But help us never forget what it's all about, Lord. It's all about just loving you, Lord, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, honoring Jesus out of love, out of a love for the Savior. You love us so much, Lord. Your love is infinite and everlasting. And we love you because you first loved us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to never forget what it's all about, love. Lord, may this love for you be consuming, obsessive, joyful love. May it control us, Lord. Lord, I even pray for some of us who we find ourselves in a dry season and the love has grown cold for you. Lord, I pray even now you would light our hearts on fire. Lord, I even pray that for myself, that, Lord, you would light my heart on fire, and that there would be a greater love and a greater passion and a greater commitment for you, Lord. That, Lord, you would return to us the joy of our salvation. Lord, we want to experience the joy that we once experienced. Lord, we want to have the commitment, the excitement that we once had, Lord. Now things have gotten complicated. We've gotten so busy with work and with responsibilities and with kids, and now we're not where we used to be. But Lord, we want to be there. Take us back, Lord. Take us back, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. If we've put other things before you, Lord, help us, Lord, not to lose sight. What it's all about. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you and our love for you in our prayer as a family, Lord, is that you would return us to our first love and return us to the joy of our salvation. Lord, we want to experience joy, Lord. We want to experience joy in you, Lord. Abundant joy, abundant life in Christ. Help us, Lord. Give us grace, Lord. Give us grace, Holy Spirit, to apply this commandment, Lord, to our lives, that we would love you, God, that we would love you with everything, Lord. That it would just be love for God, that we would do this, that we would go here, that we would give this because we love God. That we would be kind to our wives, that we would follow our husbands, that we would disciple our children, that we would be patient with our children, that we're going to help this brother, that we're going to help this sister, because we just love God. Amen. We don't need anything in return. We don't need no reward or no compensation, because we just love God. I'm going to serve, I'm going to help, I'm going to give, because I love God. And the love of God compels me to serve and to love others. Oh Lord, fill our hearts more than anything else for a love for you. Would you pray that, fam, before we partake of communion, just with every hand raised, would you say, God, just fill my heart for a love for Jesus. Oh, I want to be in love with Jesus. I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want Jesus to be the passion of my life. Fill my heart, God, with a love for you, that I would love you first and then love my neighbor. For your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.